listening to Tassie and Carla's Moments on Faith FM, and we're coming to you from Tasmania, right across Australia. Each weekday at 9 a.m, you can hear what the Bible says about past, current and future events. You can learn how to study the Bible more effectively. You can get to know who God is, why we're here and where we're going. And you can experience personal encounters with Jesus. I'm your host, Jason Cook, and we've got David Leo back with us, continuing our discussion on following Jesus through the sanctuary. Thank you, David, for joining us again. This is our third episode on this specific topic, although it's I can't remember how many we've done on the sanctuary. I think we've done
two sets of five,
yeah. And now we're on our third set of five. So, do you want to just give us a quick recap on where we've come from this week?
Okay, so the first thing is the first episode talked about how the sanctuary is God's attempt to show us his home and for us to be invited to a home, because a home should be a place where we're comfortable to come to and feel ourselves and, you know, be in a safe place. And the previous episode, we looked at the importance of Jesus saying, come follow me as a disciple. And as somebody that wants to follow Jesus, we follow him through the sanctuary. And following Jesus through the sanctuary, and I'm talking about real time, following Jesus, you know, from the past right up to now, we can learn what where we're up to with as far as the history of earth is concerned. So if you've listened to Faith FM for a while, you'll understand that we love looking at prophecy, because, you know, the prophecy is in the Bible, and it's God's way of saying, hey, this is what we're up to. And the sanctuary is part of that as well. So that's what I want to look at in today's episode. So
we're going to sort of step through the map of the sanctuary.
That's right. And
we're going to try to paint this in words.
Yeah, we're going to be skillful with this, right?
But if you've never looked at a picture of the sanctuary, maybe do some Googling and do a search for the Old Testament sanctuary. See what you can find out, because this might help you with understanding it a bit better.
Good idea. You know, and one of the discussions that we're having, Jason, I think one of the good examples that fascinating buildings that haven't really been inside, but you know what happens inside. There's a sports stadium not far from us. What's it called?
Bellarive. Cricket ground or?
Cricket ground. Yeah, I've never been in there, but I know when something's going on in there, right? The lights are on. You can hear people.
I can see the lights from my house.
Yeah, everyone's heading towards the stadium to go check out the cricket game.
If I get my binoculars out, I can almost see the big screen that they have in there.
Oh, okay. So I've never been in there. So I can't even, I don't even have an idea what it looks like. Yeah. But so I'm only saying that because our listener, you've probably never really looked at it before unless you're Googling right now, and I hope you're not doing that while you're driving. You know, and so I'm going to try and ask you to picture this as if you're going to your favorite shop, right? And if there's a shop that you go to regularly, you know where the stuff that you like to buy is situated inside the shop.
But before you even get there, you've got to know where the entrance is.
That's right. And so I want you to picture, the map of the sanctuary we're about to look at. And so when you approach the sanctuary, this one that's in ancient Israel, there's a wall around it. It's not that big, probably a football field size, even smaller. It's more than a football field, but it's a rectangular shape. There's a curtain that goes all the way around. And at one end, you've got to go through a door to be able to see what's going on inside. So like looking at the stadium from the outside, but you know there's something going on inside because there's smoke going into the air, and you've been told there are things that happen in there. So one of the first things you have to do is you've got to approach the door. You've got your sacrifice with you, whether it's a lamb, whatever it is that you've brought, and you're about to go inside the sanctuary. One of the important things here is John 10, verse 9. Could you read that for us, please, Jason?
It says, yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures.
Okay.
So Jesus is claiming to be the gate.
That's right. So I said right from the beginning, right to present, right? So let's look at the sanctuary now as if it's a timeline. It's taking you through a journey of Earth's history. Now, from the beginning, Adam and Eve had to come up with an altar, put the sacrifice of an animal on the altar, smoke went into the air, until the time of Moses, where he was instructed, make me a sanctuary, which is what we're picturing right now. So in there, what's happening is, as they practice these things, they're actually getting a prophecy of what's happening in the future. Jesus being the door, as you just said, I'm the door. You know, no one comes into this, witnesses, it comes to my home, unless they come through me, right? So the prophecy is all about when Jesus arrives.
Yes.
Right? So now Jesus, let's picture Jesus arriving in the time that he did. He starts, when the ministry, there's a prophecy, the messianic prophecy, which is in Daniel 9, verse 27 to 29. It talks about when the Messiah arrives. And when Jesus gets baptized and he begins his ministry, he starts doing that. The kingdom of God is like, come follow me. The kingdom of God is.
Well, he actually announced it too in the temple, didn't he? Stand up and actually say, it's
yeah,
now.
It's, yeah. He said, oh, we don't have this here. Luke 17 verse 20, if you can look at that, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole point of Jesus' announcement was, yes, you've been looking at the sanctuary for a long time, but I'm here.
It spoke of me.
I'm here now.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, if it may be 17, 20, and 21.
Let's go. Yeah. I'll read that. Sorry, I didn't quite get that right, but we're talking about here the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
It says, being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you.
How else can Jesus spell it? Yeah. You know, that whole, you know, I don't know how he was going to break through and say, that whole thing, that whole building, the whole system is based on me. And it wasn't cluing on. Jesus was healing people. Jesus was preaching. Jesus was helping them understand forgiveness. You know, people that didn't find the sanctuary accessible because they couldn't afford to come up with sacrifices to bring to the, you know, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. And suddenly they have hope where they never had hope. What? You know, and they started holding on to the fact that, oh, it's all about Jesus. So there's no way to understand the sanctuary without going through the door. The first thing that you see when you go through the door, so follow through with the map now. So you've entered into the closed off area. You've entered into this football field size curtain, and now you're inside. And the first thing you see in front of you is
an altar.
An altar. It's like a fire pit with bigger than a fire pit that you can think of. And there's, this is where you're going to put your sacrifice on, right? And you observe the sacrifice being burnt. The first thing you do, according to Leviticus, is you're going to cut the throat of the animal. The blood is spilt into the priest's hand, and the priest goes and, you know, touches the corners of the altar, and the body of the animal is placed on the, and you have to see this, right? So one of the first things you acknowledge is in John 1 verse 29, it says, John says about Jesus, here's the lamb that takes away the sin of the world. So you, in disgust, in, humbleness, in, oh wow, that animal, I placed my sin on that animal. That's what I've done. I've transferred my sin symbolically. I've transferred, and now it's taking responsibility for my errors, for my mistake, right? And that's a real dilemma, real predicament when looking at the cross. Even when I think about it right now, when I look to the cross, I feel bad, I feel guilty. At the same time, I'm freed. You know,
and that's exactly what the cross represents to us.
Yeah.
What Jesus did on the cross.
Man, I'm looking at the time, Jason. It's going fast. Okay. So, and then after, behind the altar is a water basin, right? And in this water basin, the priest is to wash their hands. The water basin is representative as well. Could you read Romans 6 verse 3 to 5?
Yeah, sure. It says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his.
Right. So the water basin not only represents baptism. Paul, in our previous episode, I said it represents, you know, were walking through the sea. And now it's like, oh, this is the resurrection of Jesus. Mm. Well, we've got the timeline now. Jesus died on the cross at the altar. Jesus resurrected at the water basin. And now there's another tent. There's another tent inside.
It's called the holy place.
Right. There's a tent inside the perimeter that we just entered, but you don't go there. The priest goes in there, but let's just imagine you're invited, right? And you go inside. On your right is bread. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. In the, on your left is a lampstand that provides lamp in the darkness. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. You also are the light of the world. And there's a incense, an altar of incense where incense is being burnt. Off the top of my head, it's not coming to me what incense are used, as herbs and spices and things. And Revelation 6 actually tells us that the altar of incense represents the prayer of the saints.
Yeah.
And so when you enter, these things are, there's major things. And then there's the most holy place. So this is, what is Jesus doing in this time frame? This is when he's empowering his people, empowering him through witness and some tough times. One of the biggest prophecies we have is Daniel 8 verse 14, which talks about the 2300 day prophecy. And we believe that's when the Day of Atonement, of entering once a year into the most holy place, we believe that's where Jesus took on the role of being inaugurated into the most holy place. And there's only one thing left, Jason. After the most holy place, after the high priest in the most holy place,
is when the priest comes
out and joins his people. And so there we see a timeline. We see the timeline of history. And so that's where I quickly wanted to go, Jason.
You've got another minute or so.
All right. So, you know, when the high priest came out, he celebrated with his people. So that's the last thing that happened. So when we find what's happening in real time, Hebrews 4 verse 15 verse 16 says this.
Let's read it.
Yep.
For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
So in real time, we can actually picture Jesus in his high priest garb. If you really want to exercise faith and use your imagination and say, wow, this is what Jesus is doing on my behalf right now. When you understand what's happening in the sanctuary, you can understand the ministry that Jesus, or what Jesus is doing on our behalf right now. And your prayers, they change, you know. And I want to touch on this in the next episode. But you then start taking on the role of being a priest as well. So right now, this is where the sanctuary points out. This is where we're at the timeline, and we're just waiting for him to come out of the most holy place.
Yeah, awesome. Remember our question for this week. We'd love to hear from you. Share with us a time, a positive memory about your childhood home. Text us in on 0488 880891.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Our book offer this week is called Living Kingdom, and the code for that is TEM06. Text that into 0488 880891. Living Kingdom is Fresh Perspectives on the Parables of Jesus. It's by Jared Stackelroth. Jesus is the source of the Christian faith. The stories he told, his parables, they paint a picture of what living in his kingdom looks like. And as his followers, we are invited to live in his kingdom. 27 contemporary writers share fresh and relevant, thoughtful and faithful, inspiring and at times challenging perspectives on those parables to call us into his kingdom and equip us to live in it. So that's our book offer. Do text us in, TEM for Tassie Encounters Moments 06. Text it to 0488 880891. We'd love to get a copy to you for free. This is the treasure of Jesus. And I think once we understand the ministry of Jesus in the sanctuary, we can treasure that. May you encounter Jesus more today and each day. We'll join you tomorrow.
What can I do? Yeah.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.